Well, are you ready to get into part two? Let's go ahead and just release our faith in our weekly confession this morning. Ready? Let's declare this. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Do you believe that? Do you believe that when you speak it? This is him. His word is who he is. His word is what he wants to do. It's his will. His word is his will. And he has great desires for you. This morning, we're continuing our February series here, staying the course in troubled times. How many of you know we are in troubled times? You know, when we've got a Supreme Court justice and the vice president and the president of the United States don't know the difference between a man and a woman, you've got problems. This is not funny anymore. This is not even a giggle type of thing. This is total deception. We talked about that last week about the wheat and the tares. It grows slowly. It's been growing slowly over a long period of time. And so anyhow, our subtitle this morning in the series is The Path of Least Resistance. And you notice the question mark right at the end of that? The Path of Least Resistance? Think about that. You know, I put a question mark in that statement because there's a lot of people that are attributing to God things that the devil are doing. Last week we talked about Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20. And it says, woe unto them who put evil for good and good for evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness and bitterness for sweet and sweet for bitter. We are living in those times right now. We are living in those days as we speak. I put a question mark there because I talk to people, I listen to people, I hear them tell me what they're going through. I also listen to them and the way they apply scripture in their life. I can see that they have a very good and a very healthy misunderstanding of what the scriptures actually mean. Amen. Can you relate to that? Because many times it's easy to take things out of context, especially when you're in a world that is so confusing as ours. Things are getting blurry out there. The lines are becoming less defined all the time. And if you listen to people, you can really tell that they don't know if God is doing this to them or if the enemy is doing this to them. Let me tell you how you can tell. If you're a doer of the word and you are doing what God says to do and you are walking in the word, guess what? You're walking in harmony with God. You are walking in his will. And if you meet any resistance while you're walking in his word and his will, you know it's not coming from God. You know, the insurance companies say that storms and stuff like that are an act of God. That can't be true. Because of that storm that came on Jesus when they were in the boat, why would he be working against himself? No, storms and things, this world, earthquakes, this world has been out of whack ever since the fall. I mean, things are happening physically in this earth. The electromagnetic field is disappearing, which is necessary to sustain all life. And it's not going to get back in order until the one who created it comes back and winds the whole thing back up again. That's the only way I know how to put that. But when I hear people quoting scripture to kind of fit into their circumstances and the things that are going around, good indication and telltale sign that they've bought into what we call man's religion. You know what man's religion is? Man's religion is man's perception and man's view of God apart from the Bible, apart from the Word of God. You see, the Bible reveals that there's an enemy. But if you don't have that word, if you don't have the revelation that there is an enemy who wants to control, then you will blame everything that's happening on the earth and you'll attribute it to God and His will. You know, and a lot of the church world believes that whatever happens, it's God's will. And that's not the case. I mean, that's obvious. But it is glaring how many people actually swallow that. And when you talk to them, you can see they've fallen into the bait of man's religion. Man's religion is man trying to answer supernatural spiritual questions with natural human answers, and they never do connect. It's man's understanding of God without the Word. Are you walking in and believing man's religion, or are you walking in and believing the truth? That's what we need. God's truth or man's religion. You see, and that's where man's religion really begins, too. And then it filters out into a lot of different packages and wrappings and trappings and everything, but it's all basically the same thing. And what it says is the bottom line is that you can't really understand the Word of God. You can't possibly understand the Word of God. I mean, it is so holy. Yeah, it is. In fact, the Bible is the most holy object in this world. Besides the presence of the Son of God when He walked in this world, there is nothing more holy than the Word of God. Amen. Nothing. Nothing. It's alive. It's a living seed that when it comes into us was designed to reproduce itself in our spirit and launch out into our soul, renew our mind, and transform us. Without that, you're going to attribute everything to God. Without the truth, you will be subject to the control and the manipulation of the wicked one. And believe me, he wants to take this country over and control everything you eat, everything you think, everything you buy, everything you hear on the media. They want to control that. They want to control it. Who's behind all that? See, it's not people. It's the spirits behind that. It's the devil himself behind all of that that is trying to get people to think that this is good when it's really evil. And they're willing to forfeit all of their constitutional, God-given rights of freedom. Freedom doesn't come from man or legislation. It comes from God. All the Declaration of Independence does is highlight that, is illustrate that, that it comes from God, freedom does, not a government. Not any mandates. How did Jesus defeat the devil in the wilderness? With the Word of God. With the Word of God. How did he silence the scribes, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees? Word of God. See, he was led by the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing. The Bible is holy. Why? You see, this is where man's religion says, no, you can't understand the Bible because it's holy. Because they're not. But by the time Jesus, God gave us the full, complete package of the Word of God, man, he'd already made a way for man to be able to understand it, to receive Jesus as their Savior, to be born again by the Spirit of God and have the author of that word living right in their spirit. Isn't that good? I don't know about you, but that's good. I'm getting lit. That's good. Jose Feliciano. Wasn't it the Doors did that originally, right? And then Jose got lit. He said, light my fire, light my fire, light my fire, light my fire. He walked in it. Well, we got the fire of God. cloven tongues as a fire. Hallelujah. But you know, look at the life of Paul. Do you think his life was the path of least resistance? But did that stop him from going into Ephesus and casting out the gods that controlled Ephesus, Diana and all these demons and that kind of worship? Did it stop him from going into Philippi, casting out demons? This girl, this damsel who was possessed with that spirit of divination, she was a major deal in that. I mean, you can tell by what was going on. She had a very affluent marketplace giving her good, hard-earned money to put down, and her masters, otherwise, if they were just penny-ante stuff, they wouldn't have been so upset. But when they saw that she was powerless now, against what? Against the name of Jesus. She was powerless. The thing was gone. They said, uh-oh, we got to come against the Jesus who Paul preaches. We got to come against him. You ever notice that when Jesus was asked a direct question from the Pharisees or the scribes or the Sadducees, that he never really answered their question directly? He was dealing with the spirit behind them. Yeah, have you ever noticed that? It's really pretty clear that that what he was doing. I mean, you got to study it and you got to really read it in the spirit it's written in. But when you read it, he never really started off. Sometimes he'd say, well, okay, let me ask you a question. And put them back on their heels. I mean, they come off so, they cloaked it to the point where they appeared so humble and so just. And it was nothing but self-righteous junk. And you can't cloak anything from Jesus. Once you get in his presence, it's like it's there. Oh my, it's there. We are open and naked before him through whose eyes we have to do whatever. But everything is open and naked unto the eye of him with whom we have to do, it says. He doesn't miss a trick. And when they tried to trip him, all their questions were laced with malign accusations. They were just fettered with all kinds of traps, trying to get him angry and offended. He even said to him, and he said this, and I think he was always polite when he said it, but why do you tempt me? Why are you tempting me? Give me a coin. Remember when they said, is it legal for us? Is it permitted in the law for us to give tribute to Caesar? I mean, what a trap. He said, give me a coin. Who's on that? Caesar. Well, give it back to him. And give God what's his. You could never trap him. He saw what they were doing before they do it. God knows the plans of the enemy. This is why you can't start out every day with a question mark. And leaving everything up to the day to unfold, and this is what's going to happen today, because it'll just happen anyway. No, don't start. Get with God. Get your questions answered before you launch out in the day. If you have to wake up earlier, so be it. God will strengthen you. God will make you more aware and give you more wisdom and more workable understanding throughout the day. Even when you're physically tired, you're going to be standing up on the inside because you have something stronger than the physical body. You have something. So get it right with God before you even launch out. Because all the problems only get bigger when you have more questions. And then the devil will just load question on question and question. And that's what it is. More questions and no answers. So if you go out in the day with more questions than you have answers, or more suspicion than you have actual living truth, you're walking right out into the devil's camp, because he's the god of this world. When you go out there, you need to put on your armor. And you need to get that sword sharp, because that is the only offensive weapon that we have. And when he sees that, when the devil sees that, he does not want to be around you. Jesus chopped him up pretty good in the wilderness, and he never came back. He always used people after that. See, we can't base our faith on what happens out there and say, well, that was God's will. That was, no, get rid of the, you need to just divorce yourself from that type of thinking. And just say, look, God has a better plan than this situation. Whatever your situation is, it could be a really good situation that you're in. Whatever situation it is, it can always be better. It can always be clearer.
Yes.
You can always have, is there any cap on wisdom?
No.
Is there any limit on wisdom and understanding and a workable knowledge of the scriptures? Is there any limit to that? Is there any limit on love? Is there any limit on peace? Is there, no, no. Well,
hallelujah.
What you doing in the morning? Sunshine? Look, I remember watching Signed, Sealed, and Delivered one time, and that Valerie Harper, who is just an absolute amazing woman, but she said something one time about just making the most of every single moment. She said, there are no small miracles. She said, no small miracles, darling. They're only... Miracles are miracles, and there's no small ones. But if you think the path of least resistance is faith, you've got another thing coming. Because the devil fights it. He hates it. He has no defense for it, so he tries to undermine the word, dilute it, twist it. Make it of no effect so that you'll think it's another mythological philosophy and it's powerless. And if you think that, you'll believe it. And if you believe that, it won't work for you. But if you pick it up and you know what it is and how powerful it is, like the way Jesus used the Word of God, who is our example, then you'll know that you are wielding some power that came from heaven. And it trumps everything that he's doing. And he can't touch you. The wicked one touches him not, it says. Our faith is not based on the circumstances of what happened. It's based on our faith in God and faith in his word. And you know what his word says? In Romans 8, verse 16, it says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We have an inner witness that we are the children of God. And it says two verses before that, they are the sons of God. In verse 14, it says, they are the sons of God who are led by the Spirit of God. This is the same Spirit that Jesus said is the promise of the Father in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Let me see. Acts chapter 1 and verse 4. Isn't this good? It says, and being assembled together, Jesus had risen from the dead. Now he's talking to 500 people, men standing there before him. And he's ready to be ascended to the Father. And he's being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard of me, for John truly baptized with water. So he's talking about the Holy Spirit is the promise of the Father. Now, this is a principle. Wait. Wait for the Holy Spirit. To us, what does that mean? We already have the Holy Spirit. We've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. We pray in tongues. We receive interpretation, revelation, light, illumination, whatever, wisdom through praying in tongues. And you can read about it in 1 Corinthians 14. But here he says, wait. Get up in the morning. Start praying in the Spirit. Or if you don't pray in tongues, pray. Ask God to show you something. Ask if you have a question about the Scriptures, a question about something going on at work, a question, just give it to him and say, Lord, this is a question I have. How do I handle it? What's the best way to walk in it? How do I approach it? How do I leave it? Give me wisdom, please. I need your wisdom and your presence in this situation. And start talking to him about it. The problem is not that God is not showing us anything or doing anything. The problem is we're not asking. We're not receiving. We're not seeking. We're not knocking. Well, you can say amen or oh me. It's true. It's true. Is there any limit on asking?
No.
He said, ask and you shall receive. Does that have any boundaries on it? No. So the sky's the limit. This ought to be exciting tomorrow morning when you get up and lift up your eyes and turn to Him and just say, Lord, I'm turning to You today. If I have this care and this worry, I'm casting it on You. I'm giving You the right to author this day, and I will co-author it with You. And I give You permission to correct me, instruct me, give me everything that I need today. Because I want to be led by the Spirit of God, and I want to be identified in this world as a son of the living God, a child of the living God. And I want that witness inside myself to know that I am connected with You. Your umbilical cord has not been separated from me. I am Yours and You are mine. I receive the life and the light and the anointing and all of the juice and the sap of the vine living, producing in me that which You have already given to me. I live in You. I'm connected with You. So, question mark. There's another worthwhile description, discussion we have. Because sometimes it gives us light that we didn't have. Take that question mark, make it an exclamation point, and slam it right back in the devil's face. You know what? You don't want to abuse people, but we have the legal right to abuse the devil.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Praise God.
Powie! Just get rid of him. Just get rid of his philosophy and all of his vain crud. You need the oil, the fresh oil and the waters of the Holy to get that gunk out of you and to get free from it. Gunk. Gunk. What is gunk? Going under something. Say this, I have the promise of the Father living in me, working in me, speaking to me, strengthening me, giving me peace, expounding on His love, bringing healing, bringing reconciliation in my life, in my relationships, in my finances, everything.
Mm.
Do our days start with a question mark, or do they start with a vision and a mission and a purpose? You know, it's okay to have questions, because David had a lot of them. You read through Psalms, there's hundreds of questions that he had. But you know what? He asked them. He prayed, and he sang his way through it, and he lifted up his voice. And by the end of that psalm, usually he was saying, who can touch the anointed of God? Who do you think you are? You know, oh, enemy. By the time he got out of that psalm, done with it, into that prayer, he was strong and just waiting for somebody to go. Because in the Old Testament, people were the enemy. But in the New Testament, it's powers and principalities. Did Jesus die for everybody? Yeah, so people are not your enemy. They need reconciliation with God. But man's religion will tell you that you got to hit back. Man's religion will draw some, and then the lines get blurry anyhow. I mean, it really takes a lot of thought. When God went through everything He did to get us the Holy Spirit, who is our teacher, and then turn around to tell you that God's teaching you through sickness, or God's teaching you through poverty, God's teaching you through lack, or this bad situation, or an earthquake, or whatever, that God's speaking to you. God's teaching you something. No, He gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us, and He gave us His Word to teach us. Why then would they say you can't understand the Word of God? The end of that is, here's the end of that discussion is this. that God really doesn't know what he's doing, because why would he give us a word we couldn't understand if we can't understand it? So God is useless. That's the end. I mean, if you follow these thoughts out to their conclusion, that's what you got to come up with. But you know what? The word of God is understandable.
Yes.
Says he gives understanding to the simple.
Yes.
Don't complicate it. Don't get your fingers in it. Don't get your opinions in it, your preconceived notions about who he get rid. Just let him be who he is. And let him do what he does. And let him empower you to be what he created you to be. Excuse me, I'm getting all kinds of...
That's okay, Pastor.
Ooh.
Yes.
You know, and the thing is, there are times, and believe me, we've had provisions come into this church right at the exact right time. And I'm thankful for that. And I give God glory for that. And it's his grace and it's his love and his mercy. Has very little to do, I think, with us. But it has much to do with him. But, you know, when we partner with him, when we're willing to be corrected and walk with him or whatever, they come and we're thankful for those. But it doesn't always, but we don't base our faith on the provision. We base our faith in his faithfulness. And regardless of what I see, we keep on planning and we keep on doing. Because I learned this back when we were in the nursing home ministry. We were in this one nursing home. and we had like, what, two, maybe four people. And then Lori had lunch with a woman who was an administrator of another nursing home. She said, "What do you do?" And Lori told her, "Well, actually, my husband and I have a nursing home ministry. We run as an outreach of our church." I said, "Really?" She said, "Could you come to our place?" And Lori said, "Well, we'll talk to you, sure." And I talked to her. I said, "Listen," I talked to the, what do they call them? Activity director, yeah. And that was a name. Zoila Scare was her name. What a sweet woman, and she had sweet little dogs with her and everything. But a really wonderful woman. And she said, "Okay, well, can you come?" I said, "Well, right now, we don't have the volunteers to cover it, but," I said, "there's something inside me telling me to say yes, so I'm going to say yes." And all of a sudden, we had more volunteers. Then, there was another nursing home, Sherman Westcourt, that called us in and said, "We want to, you know, have you guys with us." Word gets around, I guess. And then, so I said, "And I don't know, I don't have the volunteers right now, but there's something in me saying yes." All of a sudden, and then there was another one, Rosewood, and so another nursing home. Every time I said yes, we had more volunteers. This is the way God works. You got to say yes first and commit yourself, and then he adds to it. It's the same thing with you. When you say yes to God, to his ways, his righteousness, and his... then he, all the things are added to you. But you got to put him first. And you got to put yourself on the line and just say, "You know what, I just believe God." We had between 50 and 60 volunteers all the time with very little turnover. People absolutely loved that ministry. And we even had a canine God squad. People brought in their dogs, a yellow retriever and German shepherds, all licensed to be in nursing homes. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful time. But the thing is, faith. If I didn't say yes, why would God give it to me? That would be like waiting for him to do something before you acted, as if you're all that. No, but God is so much bigger. He wants to see faith. That's what pleases him. And it's not when you get the volunteers, or it's not when you get the big building, or it's not when you get all the people, when you get all, no, or when you get healed, then God will be pleased. No! He what pleases him is you're standing in faith even when you're not healed, when you do lack the money. Stand in faith and commit yourself to something that you'll have it, and God will be there. It's the way he is. It's always the way he's been. If Jehoshaphat never sent out the singers and the praisers, they would have never, it would not have given God the opportunity to defeat the enemies for him. Read that, 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You can read the whole thing. They fasted and prayed, and then somebody stood up and said, well, the battle's mine and not yours, says the Lord. And he took God at his word. He says, okay. And then he gets ready. He says, okay, we got the word of God on it. Let's get those singers and praise ye the Lord. His mercy endures forever and ever. And they were just singing and having a time, and the enemy didn't know what was going on. They got up out of their stupor, and they started killing each other. All Israel did is come in and pick up the scraps, you know. And it was more than scraps. I mean, they were gold and silver. It took them 3 days to carry away all of the treasures of those armies. You're waiting for the transfer from the wicked to the righteous to come. It's not going to happen without faith. It's not going to happen without faith. Faith takes what grace provides. And as long as grace provides it, faith can get it.
Amen.
But you got to believe them. Fearlessly face the farcical fraud of the false evidence appearing real. Want me to say that again? That was pretty good. It came to me yesterday. Fearlessly face the farcical fraud of the false evidence appearing real. False evidence is an anagram for fear, right? So fearlessly face farcical fraud of fear. It's a farce. Our White House right now is a farce. We know that. Thank God, though, we got the House of Representatives. You know, God gave us this country. It was the second country he ever founded, other than Israel, the two countries that he founded. And no government in the history of the world ever came up with any kind of a constitution like ours. None of them have stood as long as ours. None of them anywhere. And it was designed to bring freedom to every race, every creed, every color, every tongue. But if you want to stand up and pervert it like they're doing in our schools, these are troubled times. From kindergarten on through universities and doctorates and everything else, Yale Law School are turning out perverted people who don't know up from down, right from wrong, or whatever. They're just doing it. I am convinced. My father went to Harvard, and he came out okay. Because back in the 40s, it was a good school. But now it is loaded with lies, deception, things that people have bought into. Propagated. It starts off little, unrecognizable. But you know what? You just need to stay cool. Stay cool. You know, Moody Blues. Remember the Moody Blues? They had this song called In the Beginning. It says, there you go. Keep as cool as you can. Face piles of trials with smiles. It riles them to believe that you perceive the web they weave and keep on thinking free. I'm telling you, I don't care if they were the God or the devil. You know what I mean? Those words came from God. Keep on thinking free. Face piles of trials with smiles. In other words, count it all joy. You know what? It was good. That, and I remember I was in high school or something when I heard it, and it just ministered to me. I was an atheist. But that, it really did. It registered on me, as you can probably tell. Again, God knows how to sow little seeds of life in all of those tares, and it gets to where he wants it to go. God's good. God's good. All the time. So don't worry. Keep on thinking free. Don't give in to sickness. Don't give in to philosophies that say that everything is of God. A lot of it is because of his grace. But we please God when we walk in faith and walk in truth. You know, 1 John or 3 John says, I have no greater pleasure or no greater joy than to know that my children walk in truth. You know, David had those questions all through Psalms. And some of them came with a little attitude, too. Where are you? Don't you care? Come on. I mean, he got, so if you're ever frustrated with, you're in good company. Because he got him out too. But the thing is, he stayed there long enough for God to minister to him and turn his mind around and get him to where he could be productive, fruitful again. David was a great man, but great men are often flawed. And we know that. Don't go out the door with more questions than you do answers. Even if your answer is, I know God is with me. He promised he would never leave me or forsake me. His wisdom will show up right on time. His wisdom will be there. I will have the right answer. I will have the right provision at the right time because he's my provider. And where I go, he goes. And just decide that you decide that you decide. You know what? That'll build up a confidence in you that people will see. And say, man, this guy got something. He's got something. You know, they will notice the difference between pride and confidence, arrogance and being sure of oneself. They'll recognize that. You know, one thing I can say is every time I brought Lori someplace, she just exudes that that confidence. It's just, what a blessing. You're a blessing. Love you, darling. Praise God. Gift. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. Amen. So don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. See? That's another one. That's another beeper. Comes from him who is on high. Do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know what you have in Christ? You have an enemy. And your enemy has one purpose, really, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's his, and his main target of doing that is to steal the word of God out of your heart. Because if he can do that, he can destroy your testimony. He can destroy a lot of things. Your testimony. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your career. Anything that you put your hand to that will prosper, he will seek to destroy. He will destroy your reputation. He wants to destroy your productivity. He wants to destroy your joy. That's your strength, your peace. What is peace? Peace is the manifest presence of God. Strife is the manifest presence of the devil. Boy, you need to write that down. Peace is the manifest presence of God. Strife is the manifest presence of the devil. If the devil can steal your peace, he can steal a whole lot of things. He wants to steal your love walk. And he wants to steal your confidence. He wants to replace that with fear and expectation of evil or retribution. Fear of the future. Fear, uncertainties. Things, you're not walking on solid ground. No, I'm walking on the Word of God. And the Word of God created this whole thing. And you're a trespasser, devil. That's a good one. Devil, you're trespassing. Angels. You're not alone. You are not alone. God is with you. The angels are surrounding you. The Spirit of God is over you, around you, and in you, helping, producing, speaking, revealing, giving you understanding, downloading wisdom into you by the bucket loads, whatever you can receive. The problem is that we're not expecting it. Well, I'll turn that around. I am expecting it. Because I have to, when I'm up here, very few of the notes that I have prepared for you today are so by the grace and mercy of God, I'm talking to you about these things. And it may sound like rabbit trails and everything, but the anointing has something for everybody. Amen. It's not like a class where you go through 10 things and, well, yeah, sometimes it is. Sometimes you have to systematically put things together, but the thing is, you need the anointing too. Yeah. And not just dry, crisp, old, gray-haired words. Speaking of gray hair, I'm getting some. Turn to 1 John chapter 5. We need to understand that what we do is everything that we do, everything leads to something. Everything produces, every thought produces something. Every word produces something. Every action produces something. We are a living, walking production center that is birthing something all the time. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4 says this, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. It's not a whosoever. That's not whosoever. We're all born of God, but that doesn't guarantee you're going to overcome the world. Does it? Why? I can prove that. Seven churches, seven times he said, he that overcomes, who's he talking to? Believers, born again believers. So whatsoever. Now, as a believer, you get to download to your children, to people, to things, whatever. You get to birth things. And whatever you receive from God and birth will, it contains the power and it will overcome the world as long as you believe it, because this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I'm not going to complicate that with explaining. It's self-explanatory. Whatsoever I do in God has the power in itself to reproduce itself and to overcome everything the world throws at it. Years after we had that nursing home ministry and we handed it over to other people when we left, I went on staff, and so I ran into one of the ladies, Lori and I ran into her at Costco. And I said, how's the nursing home ministry going? She said, oh, it's just wonderful. This is before COVID. Because you can't even go in there now unless you have hazmat stuff on. Still, I mean, ridiculous. But she said, it's going great. And we had a nice little conversation and everything. I walked away, and you know what God said to me? That was fruit that remains. I said, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I mean, we put our hearts in that and everything, but if it wasn't for God doing and just adding to us as we believed him for more and more, it was just a picture of what he does. And he said, that is fruit that remains. And I was so grateful and humbled by that, because you can do a lot of things in this world, and if you do it on your own, it'll just be washed away with the tides of time. But if you do it in God, it will stand, and it will be fruit that remains and keeps on reproducing and reproducing. I got to close here. But I don't want to. This is getting good. If I do say so myself. But if I didn't think it was good, I wouldn't have any right to be up here, would I? Hello. Thank you, Lord. Whatsoever I do in God contains the power in itself to reproduce itself and overcome all the power of this world. No matter what throws against it, God will keep reproducing it, because the life of God is in it. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we ask your blessing on everyone here. Just be multiplied, that your grace be multiplied, that your peace be multiplied, that the love of God continue to just flourish in their lives, that the joy of the Lord sustain them in all manner of strength, mental strength, emotional strength, spiritual power released in them, that throughout this week, the devil is going to see them coming and he's going to be packing up to leave, because he sees that we are equipped and loaded for bear, loaded for rulers and principalities and power to take them out. We thank you, Father, that we will not be overcome, but we have overcome them, because greater is he who's in us than he who's in the world. Hallelujah! Praise you, Jesus. You are dismissed. There's refreshments. And we're going to continue to celebrate Mike and Joyce's 57th wedding anniversary. Thank you, Father, for that testimony in their lives. Thank you. If you need prayer for anything else, please come up. Our prayer ministers up here will agree with you in prayer. And just watch God working. Expect. What are you expecting, Z? All right. God bless you. I love you. We'll see you Wednesday night for Relationship University. And it's free. You know, this is a university that you don't have to pay for with money. Just time. Hallelujah. We love you. You're dismissed.